there's always joy and always warmth and always strength in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. On Sunday, we had announced, the prayer ministry had announced that the first 2 weeks will be in prayer and fasting. And they had encouraged us and gave us different ways to do this, that it's not a hunger strike, that it's just make sure put yourself in a routine that is not your normal routine. I mean, if you can eat once a day, fine. If you can drink only water, everybody, whatever people can do, but really, to just put you in the consciousness of prayer. So, I mean, I was talking to a brother earlier today. He says, man, I just get hungry sometimes. He says, and that hunger makes me remember that it's time of prayer. So he says, if I was just eating and continue my normal routine, I would have completely forgotten that we are doing a praying time. So the fasting part of it is not anything to move God or anything like that. The fasting part of it is really to put our body in check. So what we're going to do this evening to also help us, because you know the disciples of Jesus Christ came to me and said, teach us how to pray. And you know that your flesh, our flesh, always want to go before. So sometimes the things that, not sometimes, many times the thing that will build value for us, and it's not immediate gratification for the flesh. The flesh fights it. So the flesh wants to go ahead and just do what it wants to do. But the thing is, have you found out that the flesh gets tired so quickly? So he jumps out in front and he's the first one that packs up and is tired. So then, if you had given him to the flesh and allow him to lead, when he falls apart, everything does what? Fall apart. So it's good to build the inside and ignore him and just do what is right from the inside, because you know he's going to get tired very soon. So when he tires, there's something that is inside that will do what? That will propel the flesh to be able to go forward. So we'll do some prayer this evening. But I just wanted to share something very briefly, and we'll pray in line of a fasting and prayer time. And it's also, I congratulate you to come in this evening, because also everything is learned. Some of us have not been so familiar with giving ourselves to prayer. And there's some, you can, these routines, these things, you can become so familiar that you don't even need to have to be fasting. And praying just become part of what you do. And some of us, you know, when we just start praying 5 minutes, we end because we don't know what else to pray. After we pray for our shoe, pray for our health, pray for our hair. If and we start going, when people say they're praying for 1 hour, what the hell are they? What are they talking about? So all this process too helps us to begin to know what prayer is, what difference to pray, so we can engage ourselves in praying, because God asked that we pray. So I wanted to just talk to us briefly about not being in a haste. About what? Not being in a haste, and then we'll pray. And why it's important not to be in a haste is that the person that's always in the haste is the flesh. He can't take pressure, can't do it. So everything, he wants quick. He wants quick. He wants quick. And then you can see, like in capitalism, and you can see all the things that are happening in the world, like with service. You can see that they are doing service to cater to the flesh. So you see there's drive-thrus. Now they're doing Apple Pay, all kinds of things. The flesh wants haste. He wants it quick. So you can see that all services that are coming up is done to cater for the flesh. Praise the Lord. It's done to cater to the flesh. All these things that happen, it has nothing, it does not benefit the spirit in any way. How you know is because they keep doing it to make sure that it's so quick, that everything happens so quick, because that's what the flesh wants. So all of that caters to the flesh. And so if we immerse ourselves deep into the quick, into the flesh need of quick this, quick that, quick, it hinders the inner man. Praise the Lord. And because we want everything quick, the flesh will take ascendancy. Anytime there is haste, the flesh takes ascendancy. Praise the Lord. So it becomes very important for us to now learn. It's through the word of God to learn to maintain our spirit life, to our spirit man, who to be able to not just fall, to be controlled by the flesh, which is always in a haste. Because the point with being in a haste is that whenever we are in a haste, we take control. Praise the Lord. Whenever you are in a haste, you take it. That's why, as we keep building the haste kind of lifestyles, if you come to a place service, if 2 seconds they have not given it to you, begin to shout at them, going like, man, this service is terrible. So whenever you are in a haste, you always take control. But then we as children of God,
We need to be led by the Spirit. Praise the Lord. So if we become people that are in the haste, that have yielded so much to the flesh, the haste, everything quick, then we move ahead of the Holy Spirit. And that's how we run into trouble. So I want to just look, so we know that. So Psalm 27, 14 says that we should wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Please, you can put it up. Be of good courage. And he shall do what? Strengthen our heart. Because you understand the Bible says that all the issues of life come from where? From your heart. Now, if we have haste and the flesh now dominates the heart, then now you begin to see that all our decisions, all our plans, everything now begins to come out of the flesh. So he says, wait on the Lord. Not be on haste. We need to train ourselves to not give to the flesh with the hastiness of the flesh. To be people who trust the Lord, to wait on the Lord, to be of good courage as we wait, and let him to strengthen our heart so we can wait and say what? Wait, I say what? He repeats it again. So now, like I said earlier, being in a haste, you begin to lead yourself. You begin to want it. How I want it, when I want it. Praise the Lord. And you can see that even for us that are older than people that are teenager now, you can see that it gets worse as life progresses. Praise the Lord. That really shows you evil, because it says that in the last day that evil what abound. And the evil that we see, so God cannot control people anymore because we have catered to the flesh so much, we are so much in the haze that we are always ahead of God. So you see, the more the generation comes, you see that they're almost in the haze. They're always in the haze. They're always... So you see that sometimes you begin to wonder, say, and you see their decisions that they make. So the computers are faster. Everything is faster. You know, just to cater quick. So there is no way for you to wait to be led of the Lord. So patience is critical for us to be able to hear clearly. So we are saying that we're bringing in the harvest, and we say God owns the harvest. So being in a haste, you're going to, like I said earlier, when we be in a haste, we move forward. And then when we move forward, we can hear. Then we'll be hearing ourselves because normally you go ahead to call somebody to come along. Praise the Lord. But now if you go past the person that's supposed to be calling you to come along, then you're ahead of them. You can hear clearly. Praise the Lord. So when a person is in a haste, there's a great possibility that he will not hear correctly or see clearly. There's a great possibility that when you leave God behind, when you're in a haste and move forward, you won't be able to hear properly. You won't be able to hear clearly. So an impatient person is also very forgetful and therefore acts irrational. Praise the Lord. Because he's always in a haste. You see, you can always see in your house, whenever you're rushing out, you forget a lot of stuff. Forget a lot of stuff. So people who are in a haste, if we don't build our life to depend on the Lord and rely and hold on to be able to hear from him and not be in a haste all the time in the things that we are doing, if we don't do that, we'll become very forgetful. And we'll begin to forget critical things of our life. Praise the Lord. I will become irritable. Because what happens is that if you're always in a haste, you can see like your children, or not even your children, or your job, or whatever. If you are in a rush, I want people to do things quick. If it's not happen, you see that you become very, you become irritable. You just start, and what happens there? You start shouting at people. Praise the Lord. So even if it's in a family, relationship, husband, wife, children, anything, you see that because you're always in the haze, the relationship will break down. There'll be problem with the relationship because at every time, you won't have any patience to deal with the people around you. Because we have programmed ourselves so much that everything we're going on, so we can't hear clearly. We become people who are forgetful. We jump up. We always speak before we think. Praise the Lord. And then irritation. So we are just irritable. So all around us, nobody's doing anything right. And then we begin to mouth off words that hurt people. So being in a haste is a terrible thing. So we need counsel to be able to carry out our plans successfully. If we are not patient to hear accurately, we will execute our plans with lesser success. So what happens is that if you're always in a haste, because You need counsel. We need counsel decision. We need to hear God. We even sometimes that's why even in marriage, even in relationships, we are not able to. If we can ask our spouse for an opinion, and because we are always in the heads, before they can even give the opinion, we have done what? We have taken off. So the help that was supposed to be for us, because we are always in the heads, it will never help us. And the thing is that if you have been given a help and you never use it, you will lose all what that help was supposed to do for. So when we be people that are in the haze, we begin to execute plans with lesser success because we don't have time to wait and listen. So Psalms 106 for verse 13, God begins to tell us. He says, now what happens also now with our walk with God is that we will become people that complain too much. And not only we complain too much, we become people that our trust in God will begin to go lesser because since we are not following him, we are always ahead of him. We can't hear him, so we can't hear his instructions. So we'll be doing our own things and be failing in it. So he says, but they hastily forgot his works. And so what will happen is, remember we sing this song, Count Your Blessing, name the one. When you become somebody who is in the haste, you can never have time to reflect. And when we never have time to reflect, he said, what happened? He said, they did not earnestly wait for his plans to develop regarding what? Regarding them. So he had a plan. And there's the time of incubation and all of that. Because really, if there is a plan, and there's a plan, somebody like now, you have plans for your children to go to college, but when they are 2 years old, you don't put them in college. There's an incubation period where there are other things you want them to do to make them fit, to make them to be able to be successful when they get into that big thing. So he says that what happened here with the children of Israel, he said they hastily forgot his works. And because they hastily forgot it, they did not earnestly wait for his plans to what? To develop for them. So it became an issue. So Proverbs chapter 19 verse 21 says that there are many plans in what? In a man's mind. But it is the Lord's purpose for him that will what? That will stand. So pretty much what the Bible says that if we become people who are in the haste, all the people who are hasty with our decisions and everything, we don't listen to God. The thing is that we can make plans. We can make plans. A lot of plans have been made by men and they execute it to a length of success. But he says that the only thing that will stand, in other words, in the Bible, it teaches us, it says that the man that hears his word and adheres to it, he's going to be like that house that is built on what? On a rock. He says that storm will come, rain will come, and they will do what? They will beat at it. And for some of us, for those of us that are a little grown up, we know that in life, our plans get beaten. Life beats at tough stuff. Life beats at things. Life hits at things. He says that so if we have plans that is in a man's mind, but we don't wait for the Lord's purpose for it to be established, he says that when those issues of life begin to beat it, it will not stand. Praise the Lord. So we can listening to this, we can see the things we have done, the plans that we have done, that we did not sought God's direction in it, that we didn't understand God's plan about it. That we didn't even wait to feel, that we didn't even consider the past and the works of God in our lives before to even say, well, but he did this for me when I was there. So why don't I even see what he plans to do? We just say, I know what I'm going to do. We have also seen that many times lives has taken a hit at it and we have seen that it couldn't stand. So what happens is when we are in a haste, we make plans and we execute it because we are in front. And when we do that, the Lord's purpose is not established, and those things are failed to stand, and that's where we run into trouble. Now, why I'm giving all this background before we pray, it's important that in our year of bringing in the harvest, that we understand that we need to be people who develop patience and listen to the Lord. That we need to be people that bring issues before God. Praise the Lord. For counsel, we will pray to get word. And sometimes, if we, he says, because he says that the counsel of God, which I say is the will of God, he said we should know the will of God for us. And the will of God is in his word. And there's some things that you want to also do. That's why you go to counsel to your pastors or your elders in church. Is that there's a plan you have, but you don't have clarity on what the word of God says about that. That's why you can seek counsel from people. You're not seeking counsel from people to give you their opinion. That's why the mistake Christians also do, that they seek counsel is going to this person, going to that person, going all over the place. Yes, it's great. They'll be telling you what they feel. But when you're seeking counsel because you probably don't have a clarity of what God is saying about that issue. So your counsel you're seeking with men is for them to pray with you, stand with you, to identify what God says about that, not for them to give you their opinion. Praise the Lord. So, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 37. It says, who is he who speaks and it comes what? To pass. If the Lord has not what? Authorized it. So you see, if God really doesn't authorize and has not commanded it, I mean, you can build. Praise the Lord. And if we don't develop to be people of patience, people who wait and see clarity what God wants us to do about an issue, we'll be in a haste, and when we'll be in a haste, we'll begin to fall into all these pits. The default is that when people don't understand it, they think the answer is just more prayers. Praise the Lord. So if they do this one, it's not working, they go ask for bigger prayer. That's why you also see people, sometimes we jump from one place to the other. Then we say that this one is a bigger man of God, and this one is a bigger dad. So we begin to jump from place to place when it's not working. And what all the job means is that when we go, what we are looking is for them to pray for us. So we just keep thinking that the answer is prayer. Why? The issue is that our haste is just too much. We are so much in the haste that we have left God all the way behind. And no matter now, people too who are proud, who want to prove that they have some kind of big ministry or they are too much, immediately you come, they begin to shout and command things. But they don't. Nobody has power. Power belongs to God. The person has not asked. How? Don't even ask you. Give me a little background. You just tell me your own story. It begins to shout. So that's why also it's important to have a family. Because people in your family know you well. To have a church family. That's why people who are so much in a haze, very soon you see they disappear from a church. They don't want to be in a church where they know them. Because they want to be able to continue to do what they want. Praise the Lord. Be in a haste all the time. They're not getting results, but they think that somehow they can go somewhere and just touch somebody and you remove it. So it's important in a place of prayer that we understand that we must be people who learn not to be in a haste and trust the Lord. Psalm 32, 8 to 9. Now God begins to now assure us. I don't know if you can find it for me, 30. Yes, good. So it says, the Lord says, what does the Lord say? I will guide you along the what? The best pathway for your life. The best. So now you understand there is good, there is better, there's what? So when we are taking good, we are in a disadvantage. And then sometimes we end up taking bad, not even good. We take bad. He said, but the Lord says, look, don't be in a haste. If you allow me to lead you, if you seek my counsel, if you want to hear from me, and not be in a haste and relax, I, the Lord, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you. And I will watch over you. I will advise you. I will guide you, advise you, and watch over you. So now, when you take counsel from God, God does not give you counsel and move along. That's why he stands. When God gives a counsel, he backs it up and he stands with you. So if that counsel he gives you, if trouble come out, he begins to fight with you. Praise the Lord. He begins to fight with you. So it's not like, but if man gives you counsel, you go out. If you run in trouble and call them, you might even call them, their number have changed. And even when their number has not changed, they can be dealing with their own issue. So the counsel of the Lord becomes very critical, because not only he will guide us, he will advise us, and then he will watch over us to make sure that advice he gives us, that it becomes something that's the best for us. So that's why the Bible says, I will never leave you, I will never what? Because he stays there with us. He says, do not be like what? A senseless horse or a mule that needs a bit and a bridle to keep it what? Under control. So what he's saying is that, let our submission to God not be out of fear and harassment. Like the horse, let it not be put it there, then he really doesn't want to go this way. You pull it, he starts going it. Let it be, because God has given us a spirit of a sound mind, of love. Let's know him so that we accept these things and in our own volition, we agree to follow him. We agree to lead to his counsel. We agree to control ourselves, to be people who wait on the Lord, to hear on the Lord. And you know, I was telling that one person, and when waiting on the Lord, there are two kinds of waiting. Like I said, there's a waiting with no action. There's a defeated waiting, but there's an active waiting where you are in the presence of the Lord. Somebody was telling us a story one time, a brother who lost their job. And he says, before I used to wake up very early to go to work and everything, you know, but God provides job, and I'm looking to God to provide this work. So now what I'm going to do, God has some work. He says every morning, he said what he would do early, he would wake up that same time he used to go to work. This was in Nigeria. He said he would jump in a bus and he'll begin to share tracks. He would jump, stop at this place. So he says, I don't have a job to go to. I'm waiting on the Lord. Since I'm waiting on the Lord, he has work for me to do. They say a very short period, he got a job. He says, because one person made a job, he said the devil become nervous. He said, look, we thought that him losing his job is going to make him depressed. But now he's a big trouble for us. Now he's going and getting people saved. So let's get him another job. So that way, let's get him the one that starts from 5:30 a.m. So he praise the Lord. But you see, he was waiting. He was waiting, listen to God, in the presence of God, in the business of God. And in that process, to be able to know what God is saying. So he says we shouldn't be like senseless horses in that case. So in our waiting, it's a place we show trust. So let our waiting not be a waiting of just, I don't know when the boss is coming. It is action that proves to you. It is action that also gives him confidence that something will come out of this. So Isaiah 26, 28, verse 16 now says so says the Lord God, behold, I'm laying in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of sure foundation. He who believes, trusts in, relies on, and adheres to that stone will not be ashamed or give way or hasten away in sudden panic. He says that he will not be in a haste. He said, What proves your life that you're listening to God is that you're not in haste. So if you have anything that you have to deal with and you don't know where God stands in it, you don't be saying, I know what to do. So what proves you're waiting? When people are saying, what are you doing? Why don't you just do, if it was me, I would do this. If it was me, I would do this. What proves you're confident in God is that you're not showing that you're not in haste, because you know that when God brings the answer, it's not only going to be the best pathway for your life, it's going to be the best advice, and he's also going to do what? He's also going to stand with you. He's going to stand with you. So I want you to have that in mind as you pray this year and as you look forward to receiving your harvest that's already been given. And I just want us to pray a couple of prayer points this morning this evening to aid you. You can write them down, and also as you do your prayer, your fasting and prayer time, these topics be something that you want to take and add some to it. And try to pray with scriptures. Try to pray with scriptures, because it's scriptures that establish the will of God. Praise the Lord. He says that if you ask anything according to his will, if you do what? Anything according to his will. So the word of God is the will of God. So try to have scriptures. And if you don't have scriptures, you can consult a brother or sister. You can talk to me. You can talk to any of the pastors. Say, look, I want to pray towards this direction. Is there any scriptures in that? And by God's grace, together, we'll be able to come up with something. So the first thing that is important to pray about, 1 Timothy 2:1-3. He said, I urge them first of all that requests and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made what? For everyone. Make sure that your prayer is not very too much self-focused. Because when you look into yourself so much, you feel a lot more pressure and you'll be forced to be in haste. When your focus is always you, focus always you, you will shine the light, the torch so much into you and too much into your own problem that it will even bring up anxiety in your own life. Praise the Lord. So that's why he says that I urge you first that make sure that prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving are made for what? For everyone, not just for you. So it's important to know that prayer. I said it's also important now for you that you make prayer for kings and for those in what? Authority. That you may what? Live a peaceful and quiet life. You see, leadership is important. You can excel tremendously or fail woefully based on your leadership. Praise the Lord. So then, it becomes very important because God is not going to change leadership. Everything that God has done in this world, he has provided leadership. And even in human dealings, I think humans learned that from God. And everything that any society where there's no organized leadership is anarchy. Is that anarchy? Yeah. So you see whenever leadership fails, you start seeing looting and all kinds of crazy. So leadership is very critical for us succeeding in life. It's very important. So whenever you pray for your leaders. Children, pray for your parents. Wives, pray for your husbands. Pray for one another. Pray for every leadership. Pray for your pastors. It's very critical. Let me tell you something. You can come under a pastor and develop a relationship and develop and find a church home. And if the person doesn't know what he's doing, if God does not help them, they can release poison that might enter your life and 10 years he has not been able to be taken out. A lot of people are struggling in Christianity now about some things that they were taught. Sometimes can't leave them. And it's hurting them. So it's very important to pray for your leadership. And it's very important to pray for your pastors. Pray for the leaders among you. Pray for the people who teach you. That's what the Bible teaches. It's very important. So in your prayers, as you organize your prayer, make sure that you look around. Pray for others. Pray for your sister in the church here. Pray for that. By time, let me say, even if you decide one of your Monday prayer, you break it and say, I'm going to be praying for four people every day through all this. By the time you choose four people in the church here and choose two of your sisters, by the time you spread it out, you find out that you pray for 2 hours, you have not finished praying. Praise the Lord. And that will be you pray now. Now verse. It says, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God what? So he says, if we ask anything according to his will. So if our prayer set up takes this life, it pleases God. It pleases God.